hello, everyone. This is Johnny and Elizabeth.
Hi.
And we are excited to be able to share here on another podcast. And Elizabeth has been looking at some things, some direction for where we should go. And so I'm going to turn it over to her right now.
Well, what I'd like to do is talk about one of the things that you have a chapter about in your book, The Seven Mountain Renaissance, Vision and Strategy Through 2050. That book, by the way, is my favorite book that you've written.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
And it happens to be the most recent one, just released in the last year.
Yeah.
And a lot of research went into this book, but and each chapter is really different and unique. But the chapter that I want to talk about today is called Caleb Vision. And we joke about how, especially when you were a senior pastor at our church back in Atlanta, you created your own words all
the
time.
Made up my own words, yes.
We call them Johnny-isms.
Yes.
And Caleb Vision is one of those words that you've made up. So can you just start by telling us, what is Caleb Vision?
Well, you know, Caleb Vision instead of cable vision. You have to be, you know, corny enough to get these things even. But as it would be, you know, deducible by Caleb Vision, it is learning to see things like Caleb did. And Caleb, of course, was one of the 12 spies sent into the Promised Land. Moses had been told by the Lord that there was an amazing Promised Land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And so this was, in effect, actually about 40 years before they went, he picked a representative from the 12 tribes, and it tells us, we know the proverbial story of the 10 spies that gave the evil report and the two that gave the good report, and that was Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb, the one clue we have about him, the Lord says about Caleb, but my servant Caleb, because there was a different spirit in him. And so that different spirit and going into that is what allowed him to have the Caleb vision.
So fast forward to nowadays, how do you see this being important for reformers and those who know that they're called to make a difference in our culture? Why would they need to have Caleb vision?
Yeah, and that it really is the specific point of it, not just to go back and see how cool it was that Caleb had a different spirit. I think when we read the story of the 12 spies, it becomes easy for us to look at the 10 spies and with disdain and like, oh my goodness, they gave a bad report. But when you look into what they actually did, we begin to find out that it's very similar to what our tendency is here today. Even those looking to bring influence into society, we have a 10 spy tendency. And the 10 spy tendency, if we understand what those 10 spies did, for those not totally familiar with the story, they went in, and this promised land had no believers in it. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and a land of abundance, but it was the land of the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and it goes into, you know, seven nations. The Lord even told Moses, there are seven nations greater and mightier than you there. He also told him, but you shall not say they are greater and mightier than you, because I'm with you. And so the 10 spies went in there, and though they saw the promise of the land, they saw the abundance as well. The report they gave to the children of Israel is the report on the giants. And they specifically said, we were like grasshoppers compared to them. They looked at us and thought we look like grasshoppers, and we cannot do this. And it was, in effect, again, the application for today was sort of reality check. Hey, if we're going to go into the mountains, if we're going to go into Hollywood, you need to be aware of this. The Illuminati is there. Jezebel's there. There's Babylon court. There are covenants and agreements with Satan. It becomes the equivalent of reporting on everything that is there, thinking we're doing a service. See, the deal, these 10 spies weren't trying to be evil. They thought they were doing a service for the children of Israel, but it was a great disservice. On the other end of it, Caleb was able to go, and he and Joshua were able, as we know the story, they discovered a grape, a cluster of grapes mm-hmm. that was so big that it took two people to carry it, and they did it on on a log or a stick or whatever they did it. We have all these pictures. We're not sure exactly how they did it, but it took two people to carry. It was so huge. And they came back and said, yes, the land flows with milk and honey. There is an abundance. The equivalent is if we had Caleb's today, we'd go into Hollywood and say, oh my goodness, if we could have the big screen, if we could have movies that went on the big screen and covered the stages of the world that told of the glory of God, you know, to whatever advanced degree we can think of what the glory of God is, and to see what the potential would be to take a certain land. That's how the application is for today. The Caleb vision is that which goes into a dark place, because it was a dark place. It was a promised land, but it was a place they had no prayer meetings, they had no believers, they had only giants. And so literally it was an amazing act that Caleb and Joshua did to be able to extract these grapes from right under the nose of a land of giants and enemies and a place where there's nobody had sowed into kingdom things at all, and to say, this is what's possible. This is the potential of what can take place there. And of course, the majority of the people were not inclined to follow them, and they ended up following the 10 spies. And we see that similarly today. It's so much easier to believe a bad report, that we can't do it, we're in over our head, this is the wrong time, we're the wrong people, really we have to eliminate, you know, the idea today is we have to eliminate from the narrative that we can even see God invade Hollywood or Wall Street or Harvard or wherever would be a place on the seven mountains of society. And so I think that's the application for today. The Lord is desiring to raise those who are able to see things from his perspective.
And I think that starts with even being able to see it in your own immediate sphere mm-hmm. of influence, you know, in your own family, mm-hmm. in your own household, really even closer than that, in your own life, your own heart, and being able to look at yourself through correct perspective. Mm-hmm. This quote here from the book, I like the way you said it here. You said, some things God's way... seeing things God's way requires viewing the world from a different vantage point. It requires seeing with a different set of eyes. It takes sight correcting lenses. So I love to quote Bob Hartley's definition of hope. Mm-hmm. He says, hope is the anticipation of good from God in all areas of life.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can find this other quote here. You say Caleb vision starts with knowing God's promises and then choosing to believe them above anything else. It's not easy. It's just necessary. Mm-hmm. So being able to look at your own life, your true identity, look at your own family, look at, you know, your place mm-hmm. of influence, and then even whatever area of culture you have passion about and interact with at any given moment, whether it's watching the news or interacting with people in your mm-hmm. workplace, even the hot topics and issues that come up in the news, being able to see through God's perspective. And I think as a generation, we teeter back and forth yeah. between, we don't want to be surprised. We don't want to mm-hmm. be naive and mm-hmm. gullible. And we value authenticity. Mm-hmm. We value, like you said, a reality check. Mm-hmm. But yet we miss out when we err on that side. And how do you personally walk in that place of faith without being naive or gullible or
Pollyanna. Kind
of, yeah, Pollyanna or pie in the sky, where your feet aren't on the ground and you're not embracing reality.
And that's very well thought through and stated in the way you questioned that, Elizabeth, because I think that is why our tendency is to lean towards the 10 spies, is because we wanna sound like we're smart enough to be on the job of reformation or pursuing our promises or whatever, and that we aren't just Pollyannas, and that we aren't just, ignorant, presumptuous people, but we really do have to lean towards that. It's Paul wrote, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. He has chosen the weak, small, foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So when you start with that premise that not only does he use them, because we all know he uses them, but he actually chooses to use the weak, small, foolish things of this world. And that's his triumphal entry into Jerusalem was on the back of a donkey. He chose to be born in a manger, a stable. His disciples were unlearned individuals from a relatively backwards part of the nation, as opposed to being born in a Roman household. And, you know, you just look at how he did things, not just for himself and his life, but that was the standard even for the Old Testament. He would choose, you know, Gideon, the guy who's hiding, and tell him he's a mighty man of war. And he'd tell Moses, who couldn't speak or was afraid of speaking, you're to speak. And so when we see these elements of God, we have to be attracted to them, and it can make it. And it's been, I know for me, probably for us, as we minister around the world, we'll have somebody make a declaration of something awesome they're going to do. And you look at them and like, they either are or they're crazy. And and it becomes...
I think that about ourselves sometimes too. Are we just crazy?
Well, and if you're not...
Because you're contending for something so much bigger than you are.
And really what you just said, if we can't think, if it never crosses our mind, are we just crazy? We're probably not contending for something great enough. Because that's the thing Deuteronomy 7:7. Moses, they are greater and mightier than you, but you shall not say they are greater and mightier than you. So he only gives us impossible tasks. Mm-hmm. So that's when you start out with that, then, okay, then who are we counting on to pull it off? God. So there, Pollyanna gets knocked, but there's an mm-hmm. aspect of it he wants us to embrace, to believe him, to believe in his kindness and goodness, and to make that connection. Ultimately, the children of Israel, 40 years later, when they finally made it in, it wasn't because they got savvy enough and wise enough to build the bridge across the Jordan River, number one. And that's what we'd say, yes, I mean, let's just show enough civility and understanding to comprehend the task that's before us. And then the first city nation they took was Jericho. And it would be like, yes, fine. You know, we have to, if we're going to take a Jericho, we'd have to figure out how to demolish walls or how to fly over them. So it wasn't like they needed to learn how to construct helicopters or bombs. It was they had to show up believing God would do the heavy lifting. And that's the balance of it, is we have to do things that if God doesn't show up, it's embarrassing. It's like the children of Israel tore down camp, and they're going to cross the River Jordan. You can imagine the teenagers there saying, like, before we tore up camp and like all that, why didn't somebody like test this first? Like, they're going to start walking in the water and the water's going to part and we're going to go. And that's literally what we have to embrace, that kind of life is where he says we can do something. We start walking in the water, and if it doesn't part, we look bad. And, you know, it's just, that's Caleb-ision.
I like that. And what makes me think of is I tend to always bring things back to just the simplicity of, okay, now why am I here? How do I assure that in the end of my life, I've been a good steward over my life? Mm-hmm. And so I always bring it back to, okay, if as long as I'm growing in the knowledge of God, I'm learning more of who he really is, and I'm making what I know of him to be known to others, mm-hmm. then that's success. And so in the light of what you're talking about, I think the reason ultimately why it's so important to have what we're calling Caleb vision, or being able to see mm-hmm. through God's perspective, is ultimately it's an opportunity. Life is an opportunity to learn how he sees.
Yeah.
And to live rooted and grounded in the fact, the reality, the biggest reality, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And if we are, then we look at everything differently.
Exactly.
And my God, the God that I've come to know, when he walks into a room and he sees chaos and a mm-hmm. mess and death and destruction, his eyes are able to zero in on the one right thing, no matter how minuscule and small and difficult to perceive it is. And he looks and zeroes in on that, and he speaks and gives life to that one thing. Mm-hmm. And he celebrates that one thing. And he gets behind that one thing. And so I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. I want to know that part of him so well that mm-hmm. that's how I am. Mm-hmm. So not only is the purpose of the Caleb vision purpose is to, quote, go into the promised land. It's meant to take us into a promised land. It's meant to bring us as a generation, the generations to come, into a season, a wave of the restoration of all things. Mm-hmm. But even greater than that, it's meant to be the process by which we all grow in the knowledge of God, and we help others to know who he is, mm-hmm. because it's reflecting the truth of one of his character, foundational character things, is he just refuses to focus on the things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'll read another quote here. You say, if it's that hard to develop Caleb vision, how do we do it? Is it simply about ignoring the giants in the land? Is it about pretending there aren't any great obstacles? Excuse me. It says Caleb vision starts with God's narrative. Can you speak into that, God's narrative?
Yeah, and the God's narrative, and I think that's that really, you know, sums up what Caleb was able to do, because we see that what the enemy will do, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to, what the enemy tries to get us to do. The enemy tries to get us in this thing of comparing ourselves to him and his capabilities. And that's what the 10 spies, they were looking at the giants in the land, says we were grasshoppers compared to us, to them. And they looked at us and thought the same thing. And so anytime the enemy gets us looking and comparing between us and him, he's got us trapped into his narrative and his storyline as if it's up to us and him. And we it's amazing, as the body of Christ, we so often retreat into that. But Caleb, he said, speaking of the giants, they will be bread for us. Now, for him to say they will be bread, for him to say that all these, all the inhabitants of the land were the giants, and to say they will be bread for us, you have to have identified that you're in God. He dressed in God and in God's narrative. He knew that this was land God promised. So it's God's story. God says, I have a land that flows with milk and honey. It wasn't the children of Israel. It said, God, here's the land of milk and honey. Would you help us get it? The one like we might think, God, this is a beautiful house. Will you help us get it? It's him saying, there is a beautiful house, and I'm going to help you get it. You need to show up. And so he just believed God's storyline, his narrative, that God wanted to give this to us and that he would do so. And he was so convinced of that, he couldn't even see the giants as being anything other than bread for us. It means, again, it wasn't so naive that he's like, there are no enemies. It wasn't that. It was, yeah, they're there, but they're compared to our God and what he intends to do. And that ultimately is what we have to be able to connect to, and we have to be magnifiers of God, studiers of God, in order to be able to step into that.
That's good. Well, let's pray over those who are listening and their ability to see through God's perspective and have this Caleb vision that we're talking about.
Lord, we do thank you for being such an amazing God who looks to unremarkable people to accomplish remarkable things. And that's just something that excites you, and something that represents the trademark of who you are. And so you are not looking for overly wise, overly sharp, overly sophisticated people, individuals. Even as we were commenting earlier, you choose the weak, small, foolish things of this world. You choose those who will believe and have faith and obey. And Lord, I ask that you would assist all of us and those that are listening right now, those that are listening on this podcast, Lord, that there would be some impartation that takes place in them, to their heart, to their spirit, where they would have this ability to soar above the clouds of the giants, of the distraction, and from a place that is above the fray of what is observable with human eyes and human problems, Lord, that there would be this grace to soar. Lord, even let there be faith activated now, because that's the key to getting there. Hope and faith activated. And let hope and faith be activated in every heart that is listening right now, so that from this day forward, they would be those that would have an easier time connecting to Caleb Vision. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray.
Yes, amen. God. And I just declare over each one of you that you are ones who will be able to see through a pile of rubble the one spark of life, the one thing that is right. And you'll be able to look and see flesh come on dry bones. Mm-hmm. That you'll be so keyed in to seeing through God's perspective. You'll be ones who can call to life those small things that that God has already breathed on. I just see each one of you looking at and surveying the land that God has given you, relationships and provision and places of influence in the marketplace. And I see you being able to have clarity of vision and hope infused through the very lens that you look at life with, you look at others with, and that you look at yourself with. In Jesus' name, we declare these things over you.
Amen.
Amen. If you're interested in more resources that will equip you for your kingdom assignment to reform the areas of culture that you're passionate about, you can check out our website and online bookstore at johnnyandelizabeth.com. While we're happy to make these podcasts available to you for free, donations help make that possible. You can donate on our website, where you'll also find information about our ongoing RISE courses and events. Be sure to subscribe through iTunes to receive our latest podcasts. May God continue to display His goodness through you in all that you do today and every day.